They had a concert out here last night for a gathering, or what you would call it, a singing thing. Summer fest, maybe. And they had a tribute band to a group called AC/DC. Some of you guys back in the 70s and 60s might recognize that name. At the same time, down in the shopping center, down the movie theater, there's a movie playing down there called The Sound of Freedom. And we went last night to see it a second time. And God just spoke to me. We was talking a little bit. Me and God, we kind of hang out once in a while. He said, on Main Street up here, the devil's pouring out his music. My children's singing, I'm on a highway to hell. But down here in the shopping center, down here, the sound of freedom, I'm crying out, deliver my children from hell.
Amen.
And what a conflict's going on. You know, 14 hours ago, 15 hours ago, man, the music out here, the jamming going down and stuff. Isn't God's music? I mean, it is not, you know. But it kind of represents, number one, our town. We got shaking hands with the devil, but shaking hands with God. And even ourselves. Don't we have a conflict in our life? I mean, don't we fight ourselves all the time? Doesn't the old man try to raise up again? That's kind of like the highway to hell, but then we got Jesus delivers us from the highway to hell. And I tell you what, the only way we can do this thing is Jesus, amen? I mean, He is our deliverer. He gives us strength. Gives us strength. And here we are. We're on Main Street today. We're praising the Lord, the same place where they wasn't praising the Lord last night. I know we can say, well, yeah, but you know, I just listen to the music. I don't go on. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to show you a mirror. Amen. I used to listen to AC/DC all the time. And the things I was doing, I was watching and listening to AC/DC, I don't want to tell you about. Amen? They can take me back in time. Nah, I don't live there no more. And how easy it is to get yourself back on the same street again if I listen to the same music again. Amen? And so I just need to stay away from that. But God gives us power and strength to overcome these temptations if we have a desire. I want to seat bar you for a second, Ryan, then I'll let you sit down, okay? You won't stand there a second. And just grab my arm a second, okay? And he's going to be the devil for a second. And I'm going to be... I'm going to be me, okay? But see, there's always this battle going on all the time where the devil's trying to pull me his way. His way. It's just, why didn't you let go of him? Well, I want to in a way, but I just can't do it, you know? But then all of a sudden, woo, Corey, come here, Corey. Help me out here. Come grab my arm over here, okay? Now give me strength. Now pull. How many feet? Boom. See, that's why God had to come and sit in the front row today. But you see, notice one thing, okay? Hang on. Grab hold of me. Now, pull on me, okay? Okay? Look, see? The Holy Spirit, the Lord is pulling me, okay? But I'm not letting go. Why? Because my heart is still attached to you. I'm like, man, I just want to. But see, if I have a desire, I'm going to set free. I'm going to set free from this. And He'll give me the power to be set free. And then, when I get what I call our stinking thinking, like, well, it wasn't really that bad. You know what he'll do? He'll slap me alongside of the head and say, hey, listen, do you want to do that? He won't stop me from doing it. He'll remind me why I don't want to do it. The devil always got his hand out, you know. And then what happens in time, it wasn't that bad. You know what? It wasn't. Well, I'll just hold a finger this time. I feel better about myself now that I just hold a finger, you know. I don't do all the bad things I used to do, but yeah, a couple of them, you know. Hey, listen, you got to live, right? It's kind of like, ladies and men, I'll get the names right now. Like, looking at a Playboy magazine or a Playgirl magazine, and you only look at it because of the great editorials. We're lying to ourselves, huh? Amen? Amen. I see how many out there read them, huh? But if I want to let go completely, boom. But this is a cool thing, going back to your prayers, okay? Here I'm hanging out, walking hand in hand with the devil. Nothing to do with the Lord. But there's someone praying for me. Oh, Lord, give him strength. God, just rescue. Just, we just bind the spirit that got a hold of Starkey right now in the name of Jesus. And God, send someone across his path. Help him. And next thing you know, the Lord sends somebody, grabs a hold of me. And next thing you know, he starts pulling me this way. You know, why? Because he cares about me. He does. And next thing you know, when you think that I would never, ever be delivered from whatever I'm wrapped up in, when you think, boy, I'm telling you what, he's going to go to hell in a handbag. Have you ever heard that expression before, gone to hell in a handbag? I don't know where that come from. In a basket? Oh, well, you guys are richer than I was, okay? But see, the prayer, you know, first of all, we go and we bind. God is binding his unclean spirits, attacking them in the spirit of religion, the spirit of lies. And Lord, I just say, God, send someone across this path today to minister to him in such a way he'll come out of darkness into the light. And God will cause that to take place. And next thing you know, someone shows up and starts ministering. Well, God, send forth the angels today and keep my son safe. You know, we all pray with Robs in Iraq and Baghdad and all them places there, man, interceding, praying, God, give him strength. You know, number one thing we prayed for him was give him strength and wisdom. Sure, I want to come home. But he chose to be a soldier. God called him to be a soldier. So I want him to be all he could be and give him strength to do what he was called to do. And God did that. And he's still with us today. But we're talking about, again, the Spirit, Holy Spirit given to us if we want delivered. If we don't want delivered and we want to walk with him, we can still walk with him. But that doesn't stop the prayers of our loved ones who are praying for us or for you, praying for your loved ones. Then prayers cannot be stopped. Understand that. You won't be defeated. Thank you. Thank you, Corey. But just, you know, we have to make that commitment to the Lord, to allow him to work in your life, let him change your life. And we have to get rid of some of the things that we used to walk in. Keep the lights up behind you there, Cheryl. There you go. Whichever ones you want back there. If you want that one back there off, you can, or you can leave it on. But we've been looking at and studying it, and God has been pointing out to us about his Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's made available to each one of us as the followers of Jesus. And folks, without the Holy Spirit involved in our life, man, we can't hardly do anything. You know, how we get born again, we accept Jesus. You know, when we recognize, in the last week I was sharing with you, who do you say Jesus is? You know, we can't go on you can't build your foundation for your life because I say that this man that's talked about in the Bible named Jesus is the Son of God. You have to come that revelation yourself. Amazing. Now, it's a good place to say, well, man, Pastor, I led a guy to Christ one time over the care center. And so I went and witnessed to him. I knew the guy for years. And I said, man, this is what Christ has done in my life. And he goes, well, Starkey, I know if you did it, it has to be something good. But I'm not sure yet. But during times of ministering to him and sharing the gospel, he committed his life to Jesus. He just didn't say, okay, well, if you say so, let me say this prayer, because he needs to know that Jesus is who he said he is. You know, in the Bible, a guy named Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, he's known pretty well as a Doubting Thomas. You all familiar with him? Doubting Thomas. Why? Why? Because the disciples come to him and say, hey, man, we've seen the Christ. Man, he's alive. And he said, well, listen, unless I stick my fingers in his side and in the nail holes, I ain't going to believe. Otherwise, he said, listen, I ain't going to take your word for it. I want to see him myself. Well, I'll tell you what, they forget just a little while earlier that he was saying, man, Jesus is going into, I think it was Jerusalem, and they're going to kill him there. And I'm going to go with him. You guys remember that part? And look at his stamina. Is there anyone that volunteered to go with him? Bravery, strength. But when he says, listen, I'll wait till I see him myself before I believe. And I said, well, he's doubting? No. would say it wasn't doubting. He's saying, listen, I want to see myself. If I'm going to place my life in the hands of Jesus, if I'm going to follow him to the grave, I'm going to make sure that he is who he said he is. Now, doesn't that make common sense to you? To commit your life to something that he truly is? So he might have doubted their word, but he didn't doubt Jesus. And so we need to be in our life the same way that you can say that, hey, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's a Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Why? How can you say that? Because I encountered him. He rescued me from the pits of hell that I lived in. He renewed my mind. He gave me strength. I know he is who he is. I couldn't have done it myself. It wasn't a buzz off of a joint, a shot of whiskey that made me think that the next morning. No. It was an encounter of Jesus. When he met me head on, man. I shared that last week. I mean, you can't change my mind that Jesus isn't the Son of God. Amen. And so, as we come to know him, as we come to surrender our life to him, he says, listen, good, I'm going to wait for a while, but I'm going to send you someone else. I'll send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And folks, this Spirit is what lives in us today. He says the same Spirit that raised him up from the grave, Jesus from the grave, comes to us. The Bible says, repent from your sins, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, many of you acknowledge Jesus as a Savior, and you invite him to your life, he comes into your life. Christ lives inside of you. And through Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells over us and in us and through us. Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. Why? Well, number one is that he laid his ministry on us. Okay, you guys go in all the world now and share the gospel. Because Jesus is only going to be at one place at one time. You know, if Jesus was still on the earth today, he'd be here preaching. But he wouldn't be preaching in Dresden. Or even across the street. He could only be at one place at one time. But when he ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came, given to us as our counselor, our strength, our comforter, the third person of the Trinity. And he lives in us now. Look at the power given to you. Do you remember anything that Jesus did here on earth? I mean, you probably remember healing the sick, raising the dead. Amen. That same Spirit lives in us. Think of that. Power given to us. And that's what he's been trying to show the church and encourage the church that this is what is given to us. You can overcome whatever you've been fighting. You know, the thoughts in your head, the lies in your head, the devil speaking to you all the time, the attacks coming to you, the addictions that you have, even your hardness of your heart, the unforgiveness you have in your life, stuff like that is all overcome through the Holy Spirit within you. It gives you the strength to do that. When we say, I can't do that, but we're really saying, well, no, God can't do that if God lives in you. And God can do all things. Amen? All things. So how bad do we want it? How bad do we want to please God? How bad do we want him involved in our life? You know, again, we can't live in the world, or we can't act like the world and walk hand with Jesus and not be victorious. See, some of us, we're not letting go over here, are we? We're still hanging on to your old man, the old woman, however you want to look at it. But, you know, I wasn't that bad, Gail. I wasn't near as bad as your husband. We went to school together. Whew! I'll tell you what, I could tell you some story now. We had that thing in our mind. So we hang on, and God is like, break free. Me. Choose me. What does the world have to offer you? Nothing that's going to last. You know? I mean, sin is fun for a season. But it comes with a gigantic price tag. And that is death, separation from God for eternity, in a place called hell. And God doesn't want that. And it's easy to get caught in that. We stopped in, we were here last night. Well, after the movie, we stopped in. And at the time we got here, everything was over with, over next door and stuff like that. But how easy it could be if we don't stay focused on the Lord. I'll just use myself, for example. I show up here earlier last night, maybe, and the band is still rocking out there, and Back in Black, and Highway to Hell, and I don't remember all the other songs they had. But I can open the door up there, check my mailbox, and hear that song going on, you know. And it can start drawing me back. Amen? It can start drawing me back, like, ah. You know, get a little closer, pursuing my hair back of my shoulders, you know. I got my bell bottoms on, I'm barefooted again, you know what I'm saying? In my mind, that's where I'd be at, you know. And I don't want to live there anymore, I don't want to go there anymore, and I don't want to be entertained there anymore. Because I don't want to take a chance to turn my back on the Lord. You know? Like, I never want to take a chance to lose my wife. That's why I always hold her hand when we go shopping. But again, watching out for ourselves and for one another. Again, I'm not telling you how to live your life. God is. I'm going to show you the Word of God says, and maybe show them some of the deficiencies we get into, like, why am I still in the same pattern? You know, some of us are kind of like Moses, and you're leading yourself around the same mountain over and over again. I mean, I don't know how big that mountain was. Everyone ever measure the circumference of that around there? But I would think after a while, maybe a third or fourth trip, someone would say, that rock looks familiar. That rock looks familiar. I mean, come on, 40 years of it. That rock looks familiar. You might think for a second, well, does Moses know what he's doing? You know? We need to follow somebody different and hear what it was. Moses knew what he was doing. And so did God. And he's waiting to get the heart right before he took him to the promised land. It was an 11-day journey through our studies from the time they left Egypt to the time they would have gotten to the promised land. In fact, the Lord took them there. They went in and spied, right? And they saw, some of them saw these great big grapes and apples and anything you call fruit was in there, humongous. 12 spies went in. 2 came back and said, man, this is awesome. The other 10 said, we can't go in there. We can't go and take that land. They're too big. And didn't God already tell them to go in there? This is your place. But Caleb, I think it was, and Joshua came back and we're ready to go. Man, this is awesome. Let's go, man. We got God with us. But because of 10 of them saying, hey, listen. We're grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, they're humongous. We can't do it. God said, okay, you're not going to believe me? You're not going to follow me? You're going to let me fight your battles for you? That rock looks familiar. That rock looks familiar. And eventually he got into the promised land. But all those that were Joshua and Caleb did not enter. Man. And today, you know, you might be looking at the same rock going around in circles again because you really mean well. You want a different life. You want a different life. Maybe last night he's pouring your heart out to God. God, I want something different. I need something different. And praise God, you're here today. Like, yes, God can give you a difference in your life. But we're going to get off the same path that we've been on. You know, maybe people are giving me the wrong direction. Hey, come on, let's go over here. You feel better this way. Over here, you feel better this way. Or try this pill or that pill. Or, you know, remember the song of Dr. Hook in the medicine show? We take all kind of pills that give us all kind of thrills. We are rewriting that one to a Christian song. Well, you're helping me on that. But I'm rewriting that around, and I'll probably sing it First Friday maybe or something, you know. But we try all kind of things because we want our life to be different. Amen? And we've all been there. We've all tried things to stimulate our lives in order to be relief. But man, when we get into the Word of God, we realize, man, in His presence. I mean, look at His presence this morning. Man, it's so thick in here. I mean, He was ministering to people. He was speaking to hearts, changing hearts. Confirming things, man, the great physician, the doctor was talking to us. It is your prescription. We won't forget what he told us, amen? Each one of us, we got the same prescription pad, but a different prescription on what we needed in our life. So we don't want to forget that when we leave here today. But the Holy Spirit, man, came. came upon this, and we'll catch up here quickly in the. Well, I'm going to repeat this a second here. I got another 3-4 hours. Okay. But he says, John chapter 20, verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Again, we're just backtracking a little bit. So Jesus rose from the grave. Okay. The disciples, his followers, were hiding from them. They're scared to death because they saw what happened to Jesus. That would, you know, be kind of scary in a way. You know, they always tell you if you're going to fight a gang, always pick out the biggest guy first and defeat him. Then the rest of them will shatter, will run, okay? At least that's what they say. And so we got Jesus. I mean, come on. He's the Son of God. They've been hanging out with him, seeing all kind of things going on. And they watched him being crucified. He died. Man, if they did that to Jesus, what are they going to do to us? And so they're scared. They're hiding. But here comes Jesus. He said, he came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Wow. He just saw the Master alive. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And he's talking to us today. If we're born again, he's sending us also. But he says this. He said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they acknowledged, they knew it was Jesus. And they received me. And the Spirit of God came back into the life. The same Spirit He breathed in Adam in Genesis came back into them. Oh, wow. And folks, that's you. When you got to the point and you surrender your life, that Christ coming into my life, you confess your sins to Him, be my Lord and Savior, He come into your life. He's living in there. In your temple. You need a lot of different sized temples, don't he? This is called I'm bickering you doesn't mean I got more of Jesus, okay? But I tell you what, Christ came and dwelt with us, inside of us. But then he told him to go and tarry. Go tarry in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you another person, the third person of the Trinity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them be tongues as fire distributing at themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That promise that Jesus gave them showed up. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, man, He came and lived in them now. Because God is a Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit. And He needs a body to function here on earth. Why? Anybody remember why? Because God gave man dominion on this earth. He gave physical bodies dominion here. And when Christ came and died for our sins, He bought back that dominion to mankind. That when we receive Him, the Spirit of God comes in us and your dominion takes place. And that back... Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Peter stands up and says, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God has sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which you are witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this Spirit we both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended to heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I have your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. What he's showing here, the Holy Spirit came upon those in the upper room, and they went from hiding, they went from sneaking around afraid of what they did to Jesus going to do to them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them strength and boldness, and he's standing up in front of the same ones who cried, "Crucify! Crucify!" And delivered this message to them. All because of the Holy Spirit, the boldness the Holy Spirit gave them. The same Spirit that allowed Jesus to go through His ministry. The same Spirit that we read in the Scripture where Jesus was baptized and the gift of the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and landed upon Him. And God said, "This is my Son who I'm well pleased." At that moment, Jesus started His earthly ministry. And everything He did was because of the Holy Spirit that gave Him strength. The same Spirit that what? That lives in you. The same Spirit, man. Now, we see in Scripture where Jesus, time and time again, He hung out with the Father. He's up in the morning hanging out with God, praying and talking to the Father in heaven at nighttime and here and there. Because that's where His strength come from. He needed that in order to be successful in His ministry. And folks, we are no different. Jesus occupied a bone and flesh, a blood body. Amen? And with that, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what He needed to be successful, we need also. And we have it available, but we got to have that desire. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? I already told you to go in the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. Amen? Now, do we have that heart to do that? You know? In order for that to take place, like Jesus, His eyes had to be on the Father in heaven and His will for His life and not on Himself. You know, I can imagine Jesus could be on a Friday night. Maybe some of those guys he hung out with, you know, was headed down to the pool hall, shoot some pool and talk about things. And would he be tempted to could do that? It says in the Bible he was tempted to do all things, but never sinned. He may have been tempted for that part. I don't know if they had pool halls back then or not. But his number one desire was, okay, I'm going to set this aside. I'll play pool in heaven, okay? Yeah, right now I'm on earth. You know, this isn't in your Bible. I'm saying this is what Jesus may have said, okay? It's Friday night. I'm going to play pool. I'll play pool in heaven. Now I'm going to hang out with God. I'm going to talk to my Father for a while. Because that's where my strength comes from. He's called me to do this. He's called me to lay my life down for others. And in order for me to do that, I need that supernatural strength in order to lay my life down. And the only way you can do that is by being in His presence. And that's what maybe some of the conversation Jesus is. Now, I'm not saying you can't play pool. Don't let the devil take it and turn it around or stuff like that. Playing pool isn't a sin as long as you tithe off any money that you earn, okay? But it's saying this. We're looking at ourselves going around the mountain again, okay? If you're looking at the same rock again, or maybe looking at a different rock, but you're still getting confused, okay, going around, it's time to do something different. It's time to fully commit ourselves more to the Lord, okay? More time with Him. You know, it says on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus breathed His Spirit into mankind. On Pentecost Sunday, it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, to me, is a supercharger that was sent to us. The power was sent to us to do as God has called each one of us to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we truly have a desire to do as Christ has instructed us, if we have a desire to be Christ-like, we can do it because of who lives in us. And he goes back, having that desire. I can't give you a desire to follow the Lord. I can tell you what He's done in my life and what God wants out of your life. Okay? But if you receive that, you're like, man, I want that too, you know. I remember looking at preachers back in the day, and man, I won't be like, yeah, look at him, look at that one. Most all they had was the Bible, and had a desire to preach the gospel. I used to listen to the whole midnight shift. Even before I got born again, I listened to an old-time hill preacher down in West Virginia. I wish I remember his name. He was just down to earth, plain English, and he spoke the gospel. Man, awesome. It's just awesome to have that. You don't need smoke and mirrors and everything in order to be in the presence of God. Amen? Don't need that at all. But as what he's saying here is desire. You know, when Corey pulled my hand over here, I still had a choice. He didn't take my free will from me. But I was sick and tired of holding hands. You know, he's one of the reasons I kept seeing the same rock the whole time. You know what I'm saying? He might take me a different path, might look a little bit different, but the same rock was up there again. As I went around that mountain again, I had to let go of that. I had to get to the point I no longer want to do that anymore. In our lives, are we the same way? Are we at that point yet? That I'm sick and tired of doing the same thing over again. I'm tired of partying at nighttime, feeling guilty in the morning, however it might be. And God will give you the strength to set you free from it. If we want that. He wants that for you. Whatever we're entertaining outside of the Word of God has come to steal, kill, destroy you. Guaranteed. Some are just a slower death than others. And I'll tell you what, Satan, he can wrap himself up in some pretty good looking things. You know what I'm saying? Temptation can be out there. I mean, this cartoon character made up years ago, but the devil with the horns and the red tail and stuff like that. That's not the devil. Remember, he was a beautiful cherubim, an angel in heaven. He was in charge of sound. You know? So, you know, people look at people who aren't good looking. They think they're evil. I'm saying it, not the halfback. Hunchback of Notre Dame. That was a movie. And look at him, and people scared of him. Hey, he didn't look like other people, but he was an evil person, you know? And I read half that book in high school. I had to do a book report. He comes back to me, Barbara. I'm going to read. I thought I was reading a halfback of Notre Dame. I was halfway through, I realized it was. True. It was a hunchback in Notre Dame. I thought, where's the football in this thing? And I quit reading. And I quit reading it. But one of our English class, we had to do a book report. I know it took me. At least I was very patient. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, maybe this guy's got this thing on his shoulders and use it to catch the ball with. I'm not sure. But the devil will do that to us. The devil will get you to go by your feelings. I just feel it in my heart. And the Bible tells you right up hand, your heart is a very deceitful thing. You want to hear what the Word of God says. Amen? He's going to do what it says here. And the Word of God says for you to do something. And said, well, listen, Corey, the Word of God says I'm picking on you, Ab. God says to do this. You know, he says to do this. And Corey goes, okay, Pastor, I'm going to pray about it and see what the Lord says. Is that a smart thing to do? Wrong. Why do you got to pray about what God already told you to do? Gotcha. I set you guys up on that one, okay? Because if you say, Pastor, I'm going to pray about it, see what God wants me to do about it. He's already told you what to do. I just told you what he said to do. Either he told you what to do or what not to do. Now, if you need to pray about it, then you better pray for repentance. God, forgive me. But Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. I know that. You can't. But Christ in you can. Remember, I just quoted the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We have to remember that part of it. And it's to me, too many times I've heard that in my lifetime about, well, I'm going to pray about it and see what he told me. Well, I'm telling you, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. He's not going to tell you something different than what he already wrote down here. He's not going to make you an exception. You know, how many times we hear, well, I know what it says, but you know, different times today. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, come on. The Bible needs to be updated anyway. That's a lie from the devil. He hasn't changed any. And anything is today in our lives, the generation we're living in, is things are more loose anymore. You know, things that were, oh man, 80 years ago knocked you down that somebody was doing this thing. Like, wow, how can I, well, stay away from them. We've come to the point now that we walk hand in hand with them. The Bible hasn't changed a bit. Mankind has. We have loosened things. I mean, we look at today. I mean, how many of you have seen the movie yet, The Sound of Freedom? Many of us have. Okay. And if you want to see it, you can get down there, see me after church, and I'll make arrangements and get you a ticket. Okay? But it shows you. I mean, look how far. Being relaxed for the last decades and decades and decades. Look where it's at today. Look at the price the kids are paying. Because we became politically correct. We were afraid to stand up against sin. We were afraid to call sin what sin truly is. We embraced it. You know, we're the outcry in the communities. You know, again, I'm just saying that look how quiet it has over the years. Us allowing things to take place that should never be taking place. We should have had a voice that's spoken. And this generation today is paying the biggest price for our laziness. But God's waking us up. Amen? You guys have been praying and interceding, God, for the truth to come out. The truth is being revealed. And we're seeing what's taking place. Now, for us to run on this truth and stand up and do what we can in order to shut this stuff down. And it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause waves because Satan's got his foothold in so much different areas of our country and our lives that when you try to eradicate and pull that out, there's going to be a lot of screaming going on, finger pointing, calling you phobics of all kind of stuff. But folks, I'm telling you what, God has given us the victory through the Son Jesus and gives us that strength through the Holy Spirit if we would take a stand for it. Take a stand for it and allow Him to lead us in this. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, He reminds us that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Think about it. We are the temple. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And you come together now. Look how many temples of the Lord's coming together. Look how powerful the body of Christ is. You know that? Look how powerful. There's nothing can overcome the body of Christ. With our minds set on the Lord. There's nothing. How many miracles taking place in Jesus' time where Jesus was? I think the book of John says that everything was written down that Jesus did during a 3.5 year ministry. 3.5 year ministry? The books wouldn't contain it all. When's the last time you see a miracle take place? When's the last time? We see. What's that? Every day? Okay. So we see a miracle every day is when you lay your hands on the sick and they're recovering. Dead people come back to life. Blind people can see again. That is natural when the church got started. That was natural. That's just signs, evidence. That's what God did. The word went out. Healing took place, whatever needed to be done, boom. And today, when the Holy Spirit moves in a congregation, most people are ready to shut it down. Most people are like, oh, I don't want any of that stuff. You know, come on, preacher. You know, I come here. I mean, I'm not saying you guys are saying that, but that's what people do. They get God on a timeline. You know, okay, we got 20 minutes moving, God, and you got 20 minutes moving. I'm getting out of here. You know? And folks, I mean, I've been there myself before. I mean, I went to a church with kids, man, 25 minutes in and out. We was always the first one in the restaurants. Yes. Pentecostals always coming late, you know what I'm saying? But my mind wasn't focused then. It wasn't, man, I come in, what you got for me today, God? What can I do for you? I need strength. If I paid more attention back then, I would be a lot different than I am today. You think I'm crazy today? Well, yeah, really see me. You know, amen? But having that desire to it, to want to do it, and say, God, just take my life and use it. You know, I said earlier through praise and worship, man, that it's kind of like the Lord will work on your heart and it'll start softening your heart. Then it's up to us when He starts revealing ourselves to ourselves. That mirror look Aunt Carol was singing about. And we see ourselves sometimes like, hey, God, this part here, you really did a good job here, but God, I need to give you this part. They work on that part too. And I'm start molding us and molding us more and more in his image, because you get to the point you're just tired. You're just tired of it. And you need something strong. You need something concrete. And it goes back to your foundation. Is the Lord. To find everything that you need is in Christ. It's in the book that Jeff is holding right there. It's there if we dig it out. But Jesus, I can't remind us in John 14, verse 16. He says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. I heard Carol say in the back of my head, John 14, 16 to 18. There. Slow down enough? Thank you. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. This helper, this Holy Spirit, is for eternity with you guys. Understand that. As the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's what God has done. The Holy Spirit was sent to us. And He says also in 1 John 2:1, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. An advocate, a lawyer, a helper, someone who speaks in our defense, that's who this Holy Spirit is with us. And when Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for our sins. Every sin. Every sin that ever be committed has been paid for. If a person has received that, repent from our sins and follow Jesus, it's been paid for, man. So when the devil's trying to get you down on what you used to do, you've been forgiven for that. That's how He shuts you up so much. That's why when the Holy Spirit moves and He speaks to you all the time, and He said, man, let's say this. Go speak to this person. Call this person. Or through a conversation, you know, like, man, the Holy Spirit say, let's turn this around a little bit. What we do, we yield ourselves to it then. And we have to get to the point that we want to please the Father more than man. Amen? But realize that if the Holy Spirit is moving on you to say this, that person needs to hear what He wants to say to him. Okay? You know, we go to the doctors all the time. We don't want to really hear what He's got to say all the time, do we? In a way, we don't. We do, but we don't, you know? You get a blood test done, you go to the doctor's office, you get out these 25 sheets of paper if you get a complete blood test. And you're sitting there and He's looking at it. And you think, oh my gosh, oh my land. Well, Starkey? Yes, Doc. I don't see nothing wrong. Woo! Okay? The relief that you have there, you know. But the same way, we looked at, well, Starkey, I see a little issue here. Now, I have perfect cholesterol, okay? I mean, I thank God for that. You know, whatever that cholesterol does anyway. But they tell me I'm borderline being obese. Last time I was in the BMI, I always thought the BMI had something to do with bowel movement. Anybody else believe that? For a long time. I know. But I realize it has something to do with your height and your weight and that kind of stuff, you know. So he gave me pointers that something needs to be done, okay? But again, giving me the truth. Once He gives me the truth, I've got to decide what I want to do with it. Amen? And that's what He's given us. He gives us the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit lives within us. That's why you've seen the things in the world going on, and the other people around you are saying, well, what are you talking about? One reason could be that they don't have the Spirit of truth with them. Your eyes have been open, and you see the schemes of the devil. We see the things taking place. You know, you see the one world order they're trying to get put together, one world religion. You see how they're trying to go to that one world currency. All these things are taking place, and it will be 100% in the book of Revelation when Revelation plays out here. And we see how they take things that are evil, and you call them good today, and things that are good, they call them evil. And look at all the distractions that you have going on in your life. How people try to distract this, and your government will say this, or say that, or politicians. I mean, just tell you what. keep your eyes focused on the Lord. He is, as we said earlier, the author and finisher of our faith. But He promised you, He'll never forsake you. He won't leave you. He'll always be with you if you yield yourself to Him. Sometimes it can be like, okay, I'm not sure He's going to do this. But trust in Him that He'll do it. He is not a liar. And in Passion Translation of 1 John 2:1, it says, "You are my dear children. I write these things to you so you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One." Again, He's saying now, they're given to you, but you won't sin. But if you do sin, so our desire in life is not to sin. Amen? Okay, but if we do sin, we get someone covering our back. And that's the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. In John 16:5-7, again, Jesus reminds us, "Now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me where you are going. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Jesus went back to heaven because He had completed His part of the ministry. Amen? His ministry here on earth was completed. So He went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to come and do His part of the ministry, which includes you and I. He works through us if we just yield to Him. And this ministry will continue on until we hear the trumpet sound. And very shortly, Christ is coming back for His church. We talk about the end of times and the end of the world, and people say, yeah, I imagine the whole world will be destroyed in 2 years, 3 years. And it won't be. Look at your scriptures. Now, He's coming back for His church, those who follow Him, those who serve Him, those who are being persecuted for Him. And persecution doesn't have to be getting beat with a whip. Maybe being persecuted, maybe being excluded from other activities you'd like to be involved with. Friends have turned their backs on you. Family members have turned their backs on you, maybe because you decided to follow Jesus. But I'm telling you what, the things that you share with your family members today, the things that you're telling them about the Lord and they're rejecting it, it'll be like a million times louder in their ears when Christ comes and removes His church from the face of the earth. Even though they might not be with you today in church or walking with the Master, those words that you're planting are taking root, and God says His words will not come back void. But when we hear a trumpet sound very shortly, the Bible says, and the dead in Christ, those who die believing, following Jesus, can be raised up and reunited with their soul and spirit in heaven. And those of us who are alive, following Jesus, serving Him, whom He's changed and taken out of here, will be in heaven. We'll be in place called the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's nothing at all that has to take place for that to take place. And when that does, folks, 7 years of tribulation on this earth like never before. 7 years on this place, planet. The restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us, is removed. You don't realize how many prayers, your prayers are keeping back the devil. We think it's bad now. If the church wasn't here, or should I say the body of Christ wasn't here interceding and praying, man, it'd be terrible. But when He's removed that restrainer, I'm telling you what, you think it's perverted now. Wow, the devil will have his day for a little while. There'll be 144,000 Jews who are born again and be sealed that will not be able to be killed. They'll be ministering to God's children, meaning His Jewish children. And then halfway through that tribulation period, I'm telling you what, Satan will go and sit down in the new temple being built and declare himself to be Lord. And then for 3.5 years, you talk about war on this earth. And my heart's desire is that you don't have to know what's going to take place because you're not going to be here. That you'd be in heaven. But it takes each one of us, truly, falling in love with Jesus, following Him, listening to His commands, and turning our backs on the world and all the temptation we have, all those sins out there, and follow Him. He'll give you the strength. You know, be around people who believe in the Lord and follow Him. Not just the one that says, "Oh, I believe." Look at the people's actions. Action speaks a lot louder than words. Amen. And you owe it to yourself and owe it to your God in heaven to redeem you through the blood of Jesus. Just run your life completely to the Son and to this Word and honor in everything you do, everywhere you go. Don't set them on a shelf. When you get around places and people and it's going southbound on the things that they want to say and do, listen to the Holy Spirit. He either tell you to speak up or get out, one of the two. If he tells you to get out and you hang around, watch out. You'll be falling back in that temptation, and God doesn't want that. But the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit that came upon those who wrote the Bible, lives within you. We can understand this as we contemplate on the Word. That's why we have Bible study. You're always welcome to come to Bible study on Wednesday nights. We dissect the Word. Carol teaches most of the time, and it's not a fancy study. I'll put it that way. We're not fancy when it comes to studying. If we have a question, we ask questions. But it's down the earth getting to know the Word of God. Because the Word of God is your weapon. What do you know what to speak out? What weapon are you going to grab when the devil comes after you? When he gets in your head and starts telling you, "Oh man, you're no good, you're worthless. Or you're going to go to hell." And you know you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you what, I encourage you to get all this Word in you that you can and follow Him. Because God hasn't changed. Jesus' ministry hasn't changed. His love for you hasn't changed. His commitment to you hasn't changed. As long as we just need to make sure our commitment is where it should be, that we want to be. May it never be that you have to do something. May always be you get to do something for Jesus. You know? Well, I'd love to go with you tonight, buddy, but oh, I can't go. I'm a Christian. Well, I mean, where's your heart at? I'd be like, "Hey, Corey, I wouldn't mind going out with you tonight, buddy, but I'm married. Got a ball and chain back there, you know? I can't go anywhere with you, you know?" Where would my heart be? You know what I'm saying? Amen. Yes. Spend time with Him. Spend time in prayer. And spend time in His Word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gathering this morning. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Word. Now our heart's desire, God, is to please You in all aspects of our life. Then we leave here today that we are a reflection of You, Jesus. And our desire is to draw people to God through the Son, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, Your deposit in us, may it overflow us, may we find ourselves, our courage and boldness growing more and more. May we see the opportunities You've given us around the people that we'll encounter to share the gospel or share Jesus, be that light, however You want to shine through us, that we may make a difference in this cruel world that we have. And we pray for our country today. We pray for those in leadership. We pray that He yields Himself to You, Father, that they will stand up for this nation, one nation under God. God, that allow them, that they will allow You to be the governing force behind their decisions, God. And for those who are causing harm to this nation, God, those who want to see destruction, those who are working through the hand of the devil, God, we just pray today, God, that that spirit be bound from them, God, that they be removed from office. That God-fearing patriots be placed in the power, men and women, Lord. And for those who are removed, those who have stone hearts, God, we pray that, God, as justice is served, that their eyes and ears be open to the truth, their witness how much they've been used upon by the devil, and they will repent and come out of darkness into the light, God. That Your heart desire that not one would perish would take place, Lord. We pray for our children today, Lord. We pray for the maker of the film, the sound of freedom, God. We pray as a protection around them, God, that this movie will continue to penetrate more and more theaters, that more eyes will be opened up. Not just a show as entertainment, or, man, that's terrible, but, God, a great movement will take place that will change the things taking place in our country, God. That we'll have the boldness that it takes, God, to flip things back around, Lord. God, we pray for the victim, Father. We pray for the children. Those have been captive, God, and been set free, Lord, that they're, God, the nightmares will cease, Lord. The nightmares will cease. God, Jesus, use us however you can. We just speak a hedge of protection around our children today and our own children's children, Lord. We place the blood of Christ over them and declare that not one weapon formed against them will prosper. And those who are bound today, those who are set in chains around them right now, God, we decree in the name of Jesus that the chains be broken, Father God, that your word is true. And they'll come, God, out of the dry lands back into the creek that's running wet again, Father. They're renewed, and they will know you as Savior, Lord. They are our inheritance. We have a great inheritance, God, a God-fearing inheritance. We thank in advance, because we do not walk by sight, but God, we walk by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.